part of tech is the conservation and preservation of our environment too, and looking at climate solutions for the present day and the future. We've got our special guest back online with us. Always great to chat to him, geopolitical analyst Ashraf Patel. Ashraf, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Hope all is well.
Good. How are you?
Shukran, shukran. No complaints.
Ashraf, if I understand correctly, you're currently attending this F20 Climate Solutions Forum. Is that right?
Yes, yes, correct. F means foundation. Now, you know, within the G20, we call it the alphabet supermarket.
Yeah.
There's a event for every sector you can think of. And this time round, the foundations have kind of clustered together around key topics, especially this theme being climate finance and climate solutions. And today is day one taking place in Cape Town at Kirsten Bosch.
So you are in Cape Town at the moment. Fantastic.
Yes, yes, that's why the sun is shining.
You brought it with you and it's changing in a couple of days. That's probably when you leave again, Ashraf, and then you're taking the sunshine with you back to Joburg. So how has it gone so far, day one?
Fantastic. Look, we have over 200 participants from over 40 countries. Very good mix. People from the global north, Germany, US, India, Indonesia, many African countries like Ghana and Kenya, etc. So it's a really good mix of the experts on climate change. One of the big issues, of course, being the very intricate debates on the just energy transition. So the focus being both on the just energy transition side as well as the transformation side, which has to be just. So within that milieu, there's a range of kind of views that have emerged, both in civil society, with government, as well as with foundations and funders. Because remember, climate change requires hundreds of billions of dollars to make it work.
Even as we speak, Ashraf, and you're attending currently a Climate Solutions Forum, F20, there are global conferences similar to these and summits taking place, but there are still those that want to deny climate change, want to deny the fact that there is no need for us to invest in alternative energy sources and we are okay the way we are. Are these denialists? Are these prophets of doom? What are they?
Well, very interesting. Remember, our G20 takes place against the backdrop of the Trump 2.0 kind of ideology, which looks more at traditional kind of manufacturing, energy, fossil fuels as the driver of economic growth. And then on the other side, you have, let's call it, the European Union, which has basically a diagonal approach to the US, very different. And their world is the just energy transition, decarbonization, moving towards climate efficiency technologies and climate finance. And on the other hand, and then in the middle are kind of global South nations, the global majority world in Africa, Asia, Latin America. And we trying to straddle that balance for two reasons. One is, remember that Europe themselves, although promoting decarbonization, had to revert back to fossil fuels as well as coal imports. Coal imports being major record exports from South Africa and Africa back to the EU because they have the energy gridlock problems. So it is becoming a chicken and egg situation now, not noting that we have to still move towards decarbonization anyway, but the short-term policy prescriptions, especially from the EU, are not working, or are they going too fast and they're not taking society with them, especially farmers, blue-collar workers in manufacturing, workers in transport. You know, these industries can't cope with the rapid pace of decarbonization.
In what way, Ashraf, if we contextualize it locally in South Africa, what about our agricultural sector? We've got, I think over 22,000 commercial farmers. What transition have our commercial farmers made to ensure that they are not only cognizant of lowering carbon emissions and ensuring that we reduce our carbon footprint, but actively taking steps in the direction of employing perhaps different aspects of technology to ensure that we are on par with this greener revolution? Are our farmers on par in South Africa?
Good question. Remember, our mainstream farmers, we call it agri-industry, agri-SA, basically. These 22,000 or odd, they are located what is called the capital intensive. So agri-capitalism, large-scale industries, and they make use of all kinds of the latest technologies, from GMO seeds to AI-driven technologies to data analytics in measuring weather to the kind of technologies that can change the color of a tomato if Woolworths once said that color. So they in the exactly, they're in the 21st century, and they're very wealthy. They all these mainly white farmers that are friends with Trump and has again allowed them access to the markets. Their collective exports to the world is $13.2 billion. Sheesh. So that is a major industry. But with that industry comes lots of inequality. Let's start with the following. They, number one, generate huge amounts of waste. They consume fertilizer, which is a major energy input that needs to be imported. And that kind of lock-in to the supermarket value chains, the monopoly supermarkets that buy, have the buying power. And at the end of the day, you know, we all know the stats that 30% of all of our food goes to waste in the system. So this conference is looking more at civil society, kind of localized bottom-up solutions in climate change solutions from food, from waste management. Kind of the theme is democratizing the climate change debate. So exactly, very good question. The mainstream view of big agri is totally unsustainable. And we have now the climate change bill, and very few delegates actually realize that we have the climate change bill. And I would imagine in amongst our listeners, very few actually realize the objectives of the climate change bill